hackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcasts. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RANs, zips, sits. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 55. Today is July 27th, Tuesday, July 27th. I am Stank Dog, and I am joined again this week by Zero DB in the house.
Yo, yo.
And we are going to finish up our little Hope recap, the fifth Hope in New York City that we went to a couple weeks ago. Had a great time, and so much, in fact, that we were not able to get out all of our stories last week. So we're going to try to finish it up this week. And I mean try, because we had quite a few stories, some that won't make it on the air, but we won't go there.
No, we won't.
No, yeah, we'll leave some of that. We gotta leave something to the imagination.
Yeah.
So I also have some housekeeping to take care of up front today and a couple emails, but let me get the housekeeping out of the way first. And this is kind of a big thing. I feel really, really bad about this, but for anybody listening or anybody that's ordered magazines, and I know some people order the magazines and don't listen to the show or don't even know the show exists, so I sent out an email to everyone about this, but just wanted to put it out in the air. Again, we just got back from Hope, you know, a week or so ago. And before I went to Hope, those last few days, I was totally cramming, getting ready for my presentation at Hope. So, obviously, when you're putting all your time into one thing, other things get neglected. And in this particular case, orders for the magazine is what got neglected. So, basically, anybody that's ordered since the beginning of January, I fulfilled a couple of them before I left, but pretty much anybody who's ordered since the beginning, I'm sorry, did I say January? I meant July. Anybody who's ordered since the beginning of July, a couple of them went out, but most of them have not. Again, we went to New York, we were gone for a week, a little over a week. By the time we got back, went back to work and all that kind of stuff, I'm just now getting caught back up on fulfilling orders. So please, if you're one of those people, I apologize. Again, anybody who was affected, I sent an email, so you know who you are. You got an email from me on Sunday, I think, about that. So, I apologize. I am getting some printed. I'm going to get a much larger print run this time. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my wallet a little bit to get that done, but, you know, I think it's the next step of doing this. Generally, you know, we're doing this not literally out of our basement, but out of our house. Like we said, we're not a professional group here. We don't have printers on call and stuff like that. It's a pain and difficult and a very manual process to do this. So I'm only getting as many printed at a time, 50 at a time or something like that, as much as I can afford out of pocket. So it's kind of tough doing it. So this time I'm going to try to get a few hundred of each issue printed so I have them on hand, on stock. So once I get that, I will start fulfilling those orders as soon as humanly possible. So, again, I just wanted to put that on the air. I apologize. People are wondering where their orders are, where their magazines are. So I emailed them, explained, and hopefully they understand. Also along those same lines, at the Hope Conference, we released issue 2.1, the third issue of our magazine, issue 2.1. We took them to Hope and sold out. So those are something else. We're getting those printed as well as the others. So when I get some of those on hand, we're going to get them all printed at the same time. And once I do, I will put those up on the website for ordering. So I could put it up now. I've actually already coded the page and all the transactions and all that kind of stuff. So I could put it up now, but I want to wait until I physically got them in my hands before I put that up on the website to order. But it will be very soon, as soon as I can get a printer to take the job and get them back to me. And the two printers I've talked to locally so far that originally said they would do it ended up backing out on me at the last minute. It wasn't worth their time and money, or they didn't make enough money, I guess, worthwhile for such a small print run. So I'm kind of caught in that position where I got to get my foot in the door. Somebody willing to give us a shot. So that is what I'm working on. So please be patient with us while we get caught up and get things going again. And let's see. Actually, I'm doing something else. I usually don't like talking about this on the radio, like doing live installs and stuff like that, but I am actually installing SUSE 9.1 on one of my boxes right now. I finally got around to putting a KVM switch on my systems and tying everything into my big 21-inch monitor, and got rid of some extra, freed up some space by getting rid of some of these other 17- and 19-inch monitors and 15-inch monitors and moving some stuff around, so I'm physically cleaning up my computer room and reinstalling some boxing in the process. So right now I'm installing SUSE 9.1, and I'm going to switch over because it might be done now. No, it's 99% done. So I'm going to switch back to that in a second and see if I can get that installing. But I know that's kind of boring radio, so I'm not going to walk through that process or anything. But thought that might be an interesting little tidbit of trivia there. And we have a couple emails this week, and actually, to introduce our email, we're going to try something a little new this week, so check this out. Mail@benred.com. All right, and our first email now is from Moth, who says, "I'm now almost caught up on episode 49 now. Great show, really informative. I really like it. Some of my favorite eps are the GPL ep, one of the first ones, if not the pilot, where Stank just goes off on a huge rant and kills everyone." I don't think I killed everyone, did I? I might have felt like I was. And the GPL episode, I think that was Voodoo Hal and I, and that was a very good episode, too. I learned a lot on that episode myself. Stank, to really have his finger on the pulse of the tech world, he will say something. Then weeks, even months later, a similar article will show up on Slashdot or Tech TV. And he puts in parentheses, robots.txt. Yeah, I've had that happen to me a couple times, but you know what? That's good. That's what I want. I want people to pick up on these stories and run with them. I want to bring them to people's attention. So if they take it from my small media, my small show here, and run with it to the mass media, that's great. That's what I want. So kind of a slap in the face, but that doesn't bother me too much. I think that's actually pretty cool. He says, "As I was listening to the show, I was trying to think of a way that I could participate in the community. I'm not really a hacker, although as you've said before, I probably don't give myself enough credit. But I am a decent musician. I forget which episode it was, but Stank and insert random co-host here, LOL, were talking about an email theme song. Well, I whipped one up real quick. It only took me like 5 minutes to do, so don't feel obligated to use it. But I would like to offer my services as a composer for BenRev Radio, Hack TV, and other projects, perhaps some other related projects, maybe Default Radio, upcoming HPR, etc. Anyway, all pitches and pimping aside, great show. Keep it up." So thank you, Moth, for the email, and as you may have just heard, we did open with your email introduction, which was really cool. I can't whip that up in 5 minutes.
5 minutes, no.
I couldn't whip that up in 5 days. No, I mean, joking aside, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that. I don't have that gift of music, so yeah, absolutely. If you want to write something and send it in, we could probably use it somewhere, somehow. So absolutely, if you want to work on something like that, by all means, do it and send it our way. We'll figure out something we can do. We'll find some way, if it's nothing else than putting it up on the website for other people to enjoy. You know, we'll do something like that. And I'm going to try to start using that as our email if I can get myself in the habit of doing it, start opening the email bag with that since he's given us permission. I think that's pretty cool. I liked it. Actually, I think that was a pretty cool... I could listen to a full song with that style, that beat, that rhythm. That was pretty cool. So, let's see. We have one more email, and then we're going to jump back into our talking about hope. And this email is from Jab, J-A-B. Excuse me. It says, "Hey, greetings from Germany. It was a pleasure listening to your radio show, but the best thing was the remix of the theme at the end of the show. Can I get that track somewhere online? I would like some friends to hear it. Please let me know or give me the name of the song / rapper. That would be very great. Thanks a lot." Okay, first of all, Germany. I don't know that we've had an email from Germany on the show before, so that's very cool. We get email from a lot of different countries. Maybe we need to... I think there's actually a little app that you can install on your web server that puts up a map that people can mark what countries or what places they come from, put like a little virtual pin on a map. Maybe we need to get something like that up so we can see where our listener base, see where people are listening to the show from. Because I find it amazing every time we get an email like this from some, what I refer to obviously being in the United States as a distant country or, you know. So I might have to look into something like that. Now, as far as the actual question here, I'm not exactly sure. Do you understand what he's asking for here? We don't end the show with the same song every time.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Did you at one point play like the Zero, the full blown version of Zero? I think at one point
we did on the like the very first show ever, I think, or one of the first shows, the pilot or the episode one or something.
But I
know we used it on the
episode.
Yeah, I know we used it on the anniversary.
Yeah.
So, and he did say remix, so maybe, did he say remix? No. Yeah, the remix of the theme at the end. Maybe he's only heard the anniversary show and thinks that we end it with that every time. Anyway, I think everybody knows the answer to this question by now. Our opening theme, our theme to Hack TV, the closing theme that he's probably referring to. I think everybody can answer that all together. Everybody scream out Zerl. Zerle.com, and if you go to radio.binrev.com, it's right at the top of the page. So, hey, we can't make it a month without getting at least one of these.
Hey, well, he's got a new listener.
Yep. I bet, man, a lot of people have been turned on. Zerl makes good stuff. He really does. So I hope he's getting a lot of press and a lot of support from people that are being sent over there from us. I hope it's working for him. Okay, so that's it. We're going to close up the mailbag and move into the show and tell, our personal hacking stories that we've been working on, because you and I had a little adventure this weekend. And I've been working on trying to get a printer for the magazine, as I said earlier. And other than that, you and I went and checked out our local, well, semi-local, DEF CON meeting, which they had their very first meeting, DC 305. Miami represent. DC 305 meeting, first ever meeting they had down there. So we went to check that inaugural meeting out. And yeah, after an hour, we found it.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It's about, close to 20 minute ride, 30 minute ride.
It was a good ways, yeah. And who was it? Black Fox, I think, that was there, had driven 45 plus minutes to be there, hadn't he?
That's pretty hardcore there.
Yeah, that's a drive, man. That is a drive.
Yeah, but it was pretty good, though. It was a little bit better than what I expected for a first meeting there. You know?
Yeah, it was definitely different people than I was expecting, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
In a very good way. I don't, you know,
yeah,
not exactly what I was expecting, but that just shows you shouldn't have expectations sometimes, you know? You should just take things as they are, but I won't go into a whole philosophical thing there. Yeah, it was, first of all, this was at a hotel and resort, spa and resort, whatever you want to call it. And, I mean, if I gotta take a little dig at the guy, I'm saying this joking a little bit, but the directions could have been a little better, because we ended up walking around for about an hour trying to find
it. Well, thank you. If we were on time.
Wait, hold on. Whoa. What do you mean we?
Well, you wasn't waiting at the ATM like the website said.
Well, I guess that's right. You're true. We didn't.
You were standing on the street trying to wave me down with a red hat.
Yeah, well.
We
got in about 10 or 15 minutes late. We got in 10 or 15 minutes late, so I guess that's our fault. But once we got in there, we started looking around. We didn't see anybody anywhere. There were some not conventions, what's the word, some classes or some stuff going on. There was a wedding going on.
Things, yeah.
There was all kinds of, there were some events going on in different rooms, but we didn't see any of them that looked like, you know, a DEF CON meeting. We were walking around asking people, hey, do you know anything about, you know, we didn't want to come out and say, you know, hey, we're looking for a hacker meeting. And also, we didn't know if this was on the down low, if we needed to keep this quiet. So it's really an awkward situation to be in, trying to find out where this was at. And luckily, just as we were about to give up, we stopped and asked one last person, just as a stab in the dark, thinking maybe she'd know what was going on. And sure enough, she pointed us in the right direction, and we found where they were meeting at, which was off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Kind of off the side there. So once we found it, everything was good to go.
Yeah.
And we did a little social engineering along the way, got a little username and password to the wireless network.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
That was too easy.
Yeah, that wasn't much of a... Well...
Well, I guess he saw us walking around in the lobby for that, like, the 15th time back and forth.
Right.
So I guess he decided, oh, you know what, I guess maybe I'll just give these guys some free internet for a little bit.
Yeah, and it's all in the way you approach people, too. And I've said this so many times, you know, 75% of social engineering is just being nice to people and talking to them.
That's it.
And you'll get so many favors and treated so kindly in return.
Right.
So... He was cool enough to set us up and give us a username password to access the network and see if we could look up, see if there's anything had happened to the meeting. And
what was up with that guy that was in there?
I never did figure him out. Actually, we were going to talk about him later on, and I don't think we ever gotten around to figuring out what his deal was.
I'm not sure. I think he was actually doing some hacking himself. You know, because the way he looked around when he opened the door, and then. You know.
It's funny that we were doing a little hacking and we were looking over our shoulder, but at the same time he was looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Which he was not there for the DEF CON meeting.
No.
He was just I don't know what he was.
I think he was probably there for that, either the Cisco or the...
Yeah, there was a Cisco training thing going on there that weekend as well.
I think CCNA, I believe it is.
Yeah, so he might have been with that. But you looked over and okay, now let's back up. They have a little room set aside as a courtesy to guests, apparently, with some laptops. They're tied down, of course, but laptops that you can get access to if you don't have one of your own.
Right.
A little room with secure. You have to have a room key or whatever to get into the room, period.
Right.
Which this gentleman, again, was nice enough to give us. The person working there was nice enough to give us that, as well as a username to get on. And we went in there and... were surprised that there was another person in there using the computer. They had, what, three or four laptops in there?
Actually, I think it was two. One, the one you were using, and the one to the right of you. I think he brought his own.
Oh.
He had a little bright bag there.
Oh, is that what I saw? Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And plus, I think he was running XP, and those two laptops must have been either 98 or 2000, maybe. I don't recall, but I don't think it was an XP machine.
No, I think the one that I was using was a 2000 box. So.
Yeah, he definitely had his own laptop. He was doing some fancy dancy stuff over there himself.
Yeah, you said you looked over and what was he doing, trace routes?
I peeked over his shoulder and he was doing some trace routes and he was doing some IP config. So, I'm not sure. I guess he was trying to map out the network himself. I don't know.
Yeah, but why would he be doing that on the hotel's network unless he was... Well,
I have no idea.
Yeah. Anyway, he started transferring
some files or something. I saw he was doing, or installing some other kind of stuff, and he stood up at one point. You know, I'm not sure if he was trying to block the screen or I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But he was looking over his shoulder as well.
Yeah, and
what was that shirt he had on?
It was some kind of security shirt, but I don't know if it was a physical security thing or a computer security shirt. I didn't quite catch it. because he was a pretty big guy, so I didn't know if it was a physical security bouncer type shirt. So, but, yeah, because he was in there, I was kind of having to block a little bit myself and look over my shoulder, so I was limited in how much playing I could do. Plus, you know, you and I kind of said it too, we didn't want to push our luck too much. The guy was actually pretty nice to give us access to the computer. We definitely weren't going to go in there and stir up anything.
We wouldn't abuse it.
But yeah, we were just going to check it out, see what the kind of system it was and, you know, how it was set up, which there's nothing wrong with that. Some of the funny stuff was, and you know what, I'm going to give a little bit of advice out to our listeners. Most of them already know this, but for those of you who never thought about it or considered it, when you go to sites like, for example, Hotmail, or Amazon, there's a little button, and I'll stick with Hotmail because it's a good example. On Hotmail, there's a little button down there, a little checkbox that says, do not save my information. Is this a publicly used computer? And any time you're in a publicly used computer, in a library, a coffee shop, anything like that, check that box because that prevents it from saving any information, any cookie or anything like that from the site, because if you go back to Hotmail without doing that, it will fill in your account name or your email address that you log in. It won't fill in your password, of course, unless you also set it up to save that as well, which you can. So hopefully you don't do anything like that. But also, you don't want to give somebody just the username alone.
Right.
When I got on that computer and went to check and see if I had gotten an email that there was something changed about the meeting is the reason I was checking. When I went to check my email, the person before me, their username came up. So, A, the potential is there. You know the username. You can brute force passwords if you really wanted to, for whatever reason, which I had no reason to, but, you know, you can have it brute forced. B, since his email address, it's a Hotmail account, you know he has an MSN Messenger account of the same thing. I could contact him, instant message him, harass, whatever you wanted to do. That's dangerous. So you don't want to leave your information out in a public terminal for that reason. And that may be the same username you use for a lot of other sites and stuff like that. So just leaving something like that open is definitely not a good idea. Definitely a bad idea. And the reason I say Amazon as well, because the same person, I showed it to you and we laughed, but I don't know if you realize that was the exact same username.
Yeah.
On Amazon as it was on Hotmail. He used the same username. And right there on Amazon, I could see what was in his shopping cart. I could see the items he had in there.
Right.
Very, very dangerous. Someone malicious could do bad things with that.
But also, even the initial login screen dropped down, if I'm not mistaken, it dropped down the username, which was Smith.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Even the passcode, they have a whole crap load of a list of all the passcodes, and I'm like,
what you're referring to there, just because the listeners probably don't, let's explain, this was just like, for example, a T-Mobile hotspot or any of those pay-for-use applications or pay-for-use sites where you have to authenticate, they want you to pay for your time or for how many hours you want to use or charge you by minute or whatever. They present you with a web page that you have to log into and authenticate to get out of the local network and get to the internet. And that's what this particular one was. Do you remember what the brand or who was offering it? Was it Sprint?
Yeah, it was definitely a Sprint connection.
Yeah, it was a Sprint of some sort. And I guess you could go to the hotel and pay for it, or you could probably add it onto the tab for your room or something, which adds a lot of possibilities there, especially if you know someone's username that they left into their Hotmail account, but we won't go there.
What was your room, by the way?
Yeah. What the person had done for us, to be nice for us, was he set up an account called Smith, and he gave us a passcode. Well, when I was typing in Smith, there were basically two input fields. When I typed in, and they were both plain text. So when I typed in the first S, I noticed that it immediately dropped down, and this is an Internet Explorer thing, it'll save entries, it'll do that autocomplete. So that's turned on, or it was turned on this machine, that's something else you want to turn off or clear out when you're done. Autocomplete came up, so when I put in an S, it immediately popped up with Smith. So someone had done this before, someone had gotten on with this free account before. So I backed up, and you can just click in it with no letters, and it'll bring a drop-down list of all of the usernames of people who've logged in before. So, again, you can see the potential with that is, same as we mentioned before. But not only that, when I tabbed down and went to the passkey, which was a four-digit numeric number, that's pretty redundant. It was a four-digit number. And that also, when you press down, you could see all of the numbers and the passcodes. And what did we determine that that was a room number or no?
Well,
or it somehow
I don't think it's a room number because I don't think it was really a room number because it was a four-digit number, but I think the actual rooms were three-digit, from what I can tell. Three digits and a number and a letter.
Yeah, but for example, building 8, room 113, that's four digits?
No. Well, yeah, well...
We don't know,
like
but...
Like one alpha, numeric.
Theoretically.
Like building 8.
Right.
And then they would have actually the room number, which was, I recall, 3... digit number and then an alphanumeric number.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how they came up with alphanumeric after the three.
But that might have been a special for the suite or anyway. Point being, the potential is that it could have been that. We don't know if it was or not. But again, plain text right there that you could drop down and see. And even though we can't sit here and brainstorm the pattern off the top of our head, if we were sat down with that list in front of us, we might have been able to figure out the pattern that goes along with it. However, as bad as that sounds, I do suspect that they have to activate that back at the desk somehow. So even if we found the pattern, I don't think we could have gone and sat down and just figured out a combination on our own. I think it checked to verify to see if it was authorized back at some server behind the counter or something like that, because he left and came back. So,
well, we might be able to find out next month, maybe.
Yeah, we might just do that. So anyway, yep, we did that. We visited the wedding party.
Snake Dog, that was kind of like, I wouldn't have done that. Man.
I just paid my respects, that's all. we did a little bit of urban exploration, if you want to call it that, too. We were walking through some of the rooms, looking for the meeting, and checking out the wedding party, and checking out the other events going on.
Mm.
And eventually, like we said, we found the meeting. So, now you, going into this meeting, you had actually just come earlier that day, you had just come from a computer show, am I correct?
Right, yeah. Well, in Fort Lauderdale, you had a computer show that they had pretty much once a month. And
you had a specific purchase in mind.
Yeah, I was actually going to try to get another laptop. Preferably ThinkPad. I didn't want to spend a whole bunch of money. I've looked online with eBay, but when it comes to this type of electronic equipment, I want to put my hands on it. I want to be able to see exactly what I'm going to be getting. Even though eBay is a little bit cheaper, and you can probably find a little bit better deal, and yes, they have, you know, the actual stores actually put their product up, but still, I like to put my hands on it. I like to see it. But other than that, I actually did purchase one. I think I got a pretty good deal. I could have got a better deal, but pretty good.
You don't have to talk about the financial part, but what are the specs of the machine you bought?
Actually, this one's it's a T20 IBM ThinkPad, a P3 700, 256 mega RAM. I think it has a 12 gig hard drive, I believe.
Also, just for, I'm going to switch over to that SUSE box while you talk about that, so.
Yeah, and, you know, all in all, it's not a high-end machine. I only got it pretty much to run my Plan 9 on because I want to do a couple presentations. And it wouldn't work on my Toshiba because my video wasn't supported with Plan 9. But nonetheless, I knew ThinkPad would do the job and everything's working fine with it. Install Plan 9 on it. Everything's working cool. Got it up on the internet. I'm doing all my little configurations and changing some of the script files and tailoring it how I like it. So hopefully
Well, you spent an hour trying to get the resolution.
Well, yeah, that, yeah, this...
I'm just messing with
screen
you.
Screen size here is kind of like a funky screen size, and the fuss doesn't... It's kind of looks archaic, but... I mean, I can read it. It doesn't have to be all that pretty, just as long as it does what I need to do, and it, so far it's been doing that. Compared to my other 600... What did I have? A 600E? ThinkPad? And the keyboard went out on me twice, so I was kind of reluctant to even get another IBM, but the guy that I bought this from told me a little bit of something about those P2s, so he said the P3 should do me much, much better, and so far, haven't had a problem.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
I just switched over, like I said, and Yast is just finishing up the installation. I don't know if it's the KVM switch now that I've got going on here or what, but the mouse is really jumping all over the place.
Uh-oh.
So something's fishy, so I'm trying to keyboard navigate through all of this GUI install of Yast. The last time I installed SUSE was using the text-based install, so this is kind of tricky.
Yeah, take your time.
Actually, you didn't mention your favorite feature on that laptop.
Oh, I forgot. Man, this has got to be, like, the coolest thing I've seen. I mean, I've never seen, I'm pretty sure some of the other guys out there probably have seen this before, and probably not a big deal to you, but to me, there's a function key, and on the page down key, there's, like, a little light. And on the actual the flat screen part of the ThinkPad, there's like a little hole there with a light there. And when you do a function page up, it actually has a built-in light so you can actually do your coding and do whatever you need to do in complete darkness. And that's like the coolest thing I've seen on a laptop, as opposed to using like those USB lights, you know, and the lamps and all this, and the freaking glasses with the bulbs on the side and all that kind of nonsense. But this is, I'm pretty impressed with the ThinkPad, really. I'm impressed, and I like it.
Actually, it is a good box. It's very compatible, one of the most compatible laptops. I just got an error on my boot manager. It does not like Lilo because, yikes, what is this? Okay, this is bad radio. We're going to have to look at this offline, but it did not like one of the alias contains a blank character. By default, memory test is something it created, but it was expecting grub, so maybe I should set it back to grub.
I guess so.
Much as I don't particularly like grub, but whatever.
Well.
Anyway. Yeah, so have you got it up and running completely now, or?
Oh, yeah. Everything's up and running. I got it on the net. I maybe don't check my mail. Let me see. There are a couple of little things that I want to try to get working. For some reason, a Wi-Fi card isn't working on it. I don't get a link, you know, and I know I'm within range of a Wi-Fi signal, but for some reason it's not giving me a link. I'll work on that a little bit later, but other than that, working like a charm. Not a problem. Hopefully, the next 2600 meeting, I can do a little intro or something to Plan 9. I wish we could do it somewhere we have an internet connection, though. So I can show the full potential.
Right. That was the first I had seen of Plan 9, was watching you kind of set it up and install, and it was definitely... definitely unique. It's not something I had seen before. You were very right in your description saying that it's very mousy.
Yeah, it is very mousy. And that's done with the mouse.
That's going to take some getting used to, because it's mousy, but at the same time it requires a lot of typing. So
right,
that's kind of awkward a little bit. I guess that's something you get used to after a while.
I think their whole reasoning behind that is because, remember I showed you where you can like select, you know, highlight and then send it to the command line instead of typing out the whole command again?
Right.
I guess the whole reasoning behind that is the mouse actually quicker than trying to type out a whole bunch of things. Like, you know, if you want to, you have a ready expression that you're putting in that you're trying to change a text file or whatever, and you can, you know, you say, you select the whole line and you can actually go ahead and edit it quicker with the mouse. And also with Plan 9, there is no, keyboard, I think I'm screwing this up here, keyboard addressing, I think that's what they call it. Well, basically, you can't use the arrows to navigate. You know, if you use the up and down arrow, it will actually move the terminal page up and down. You know, there's no character or keyboard addressing like in Linux or in Windows where you could use the arrows to.
Well, they're not mapped to.
Right. If you need to actually go between a letter, you know, between two letters or delete a letter, you actually have to use the mouse and click on that location and then use the backspace or do whatever editing you want. Or you can use your, you know, if you're in a file, you can use red expressions, you know.
That's something I don't like the sound of particularly, but again, I guess that's just part of it and you got to get used to it. So.
Right. It is definitely a programmer's operating system, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's definitely not meant to be made for the mass and everybody to use.
Right.
But that's kind of like what I like. You know, I like the unique things. I like different things.
Right. And now that I've got this KVM switch going in here, I have a fourth port available, and I've got it already promised out. I just got to get I got another box laying here that I want to get working, and it's an old K62 400 megahertz chip, which should be plenty enough to run Plan 9, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's got a good amount of memory on it. So.
How much memory you said?
It's at least 256. It's probably 512.
Oh, that's plenty.
Yeah, I think all of my boxes have 512 or more. I mean, memory is just the biggest increase in productivity and you know,
yeah,
in my opinion. So I always make sure I get plenty of memory in my boxes. All right, so I guess now, unless you had anything else, we can go on to some talking a little bit about hope.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is the main topic of the show, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were supposed to be doing this, talking about hope anyway.
Well, we still got plenty of time to talk about hope. I'm actually going to bring up here real quick, because I didn't do it beforehand. I was not properly prepared to bring up the list of speakers, and I thought we'd go down through some of the speaker list. Obviously, it would take a long time to go through all of them, and we don't have time to do that. But, let's see the schedule here. Okay. On Friday. Now, you actually, I think, went to more presentations than I did. Basically, I lost Friday. Friday was pretty much a wash for me. I went to a couple presentations, but I spent most of my time getting my own presentation ready. And Saturday morning definitely was a wash for me. So I didn't really get to go to too much stuff till Saturday afternoon. Well, even Saturday evening, I was at Slip Modes. I was on the panel at Slip Modes presentation, so I really didn't get to see as many as I liked. But I did go to a few of them, and I think you went to a few other ones, different ones than I did. So
yeah.
I thought we'd kind of go through here and see. Now, Friday, anything before noon, forget about it. So for just skip right over that. No way.
Actually, I think I was up early that day.
Oh, man. I don't know how. You must.
Yeah, yeah. Remember? Yeah, because I got up. Remember, I got up. Let me see. I was about maybe 8 or 9, and you were still asleep. You said, oh, I wasn't bothered. I'm tired. That was the day you didn't get sleep for the past 4 days. But, I actually caught the opening.
It should just be against the rules for any hacking convention to start before noon. That should just be a standard rule.
Yeah.
But anyway, I digress. That's just a joke.
Yeah.
So you went to the opening.
Yeah, I did catch the guy that was talking about the war on terrorism, Bruce,
you're not talking about Robert Steele? Oh, Bruce Schneider.
Oh, Bruce Schneider.
Yeah.
About the war on terror. You know, off and on, I was kind of like in and out because I was kind of like walking around still, going upstairs and downstairs and 18th floor and, you know, walking around. But I did get bits and parts of that.
Securities, Liberties, and Trade-Offs in the War on Terrorism. That was the name of that presentation.
Right.
I don't know if it's Schneider or Schneier. I don't know if it's a typo on here. Schneier, Schneier.
Schneier? I don't know. S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R.
Yeah.
Schneier? Schneier? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, apologies to him if we mispronounced it.
Bruce. maybe we'll get it right.
Yeah.
But that one, I caught bits and pieces of that off and on, and it's, you know, it was, I guess, okay, the little pieces I caught, just pretty much talking about how stupid some of the things we do. But anyway,
yeah,
I'm not trying not to get too political about things. I mean, after all, this is a heck of a convention.
Right, and I was going to save that comment for the end of our whole discussion, and I will. I'm going to save that for the end. So, yeah, because of what you just said, that had no interest for me whatsoever. I wasn't even, didn't even want to go see that presentation. Now, the one right after that, wireless and Wi-Fi, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I wouldn't have mind seeing that, but I don't know what new information they could have possibly had, or if they had.
I don't know. I didn't really catch any of that. I didn't really see any of that. I think at that point I was like downstairs maybe.
Yeah, and actually that after that one in Section A was actually the first presentation I caught, and I made myself wake up at 2 o'clock, which I know that sounds funny, but I made myself get up by 2 o'clock to go see this one. And that's When Corporations Attack, and this was Acidus and Virgil, because I had actually, I don't know, I shouldn't say worked with them, but I actually had followed their case, and without going into a lot of detail, we're actually going to try to have Acidus and or Virgil on some upcoming shows, and maybe we'll talk about it as much as they're allowed to, but basically they did some research and investigation to Blackboard, which is a college ID card system, but it's also other things besides that. But in their case, they were really looking at the ID card system, particularly at their university. And Blackboard didn't take very kindly to that, so issued a cease and desist. They were going to present a presentation at Interzone 3, and I guess at the last minute they got a notification that they were being sued, and long story short, they ended up settling it, which to a pretty amicable deal, if I say so myself. I don't know if they'd agree with me. I don't want to put words in their mouth, but it seemed like a fair balance. It was awfully scary and intimidating and a little bit unnecessary, I think, the way they went about it, coming into someone's hotel room an hour before, you know, and issuing them a subpoena whatever. Anyway, it was kind of tricky the way they did it, and again, I think the agreement was that they're really not supposed to talk about certain aspects of it. But what they did talk about, again, the name of this presentation was When Corporations Attack. So the two of them, along with Dan Morgan from Satellite News, is that what it was called? Satellite News, the old newsletter. He got in some trouble also from the satellite TV companies shutting him down for distributing information about how they worked. And Wendy Seltzer and representatives from the EFF, all on a panel talking about that very subject, about how, well, not how, but telling a little bit about their particular stories, and as crude as it sounds, how much they sucked being in that situation. I wish I could say something more eloquently, but it just sucked for them, and what they had to go through, and again, I had sent some information to them because I had followed up on their case and I knew something about Blackboard, so I kind of had been following these guys, Acidus and Virgil, that is. So I was able to meet up with them afterwards and talk about some of that kind of stuff with them, talk about some things that I had found, and, you know, just basically show a support, tell them that, you know, I think they did get kind of steamrolled there a little bit. So they actually were really good guys, so I'm glad I got to meet up with them. And work on some other projects. So that was definitely a good presentation, I thought.
Okay.
And at the same time, however, there was also another good presentation in B that I would have liked to have seen, Security Through Diversity from Java Man. Obviously, I didn't get to see that because I was over in A for this one. So I'm waiting now for that one to be released on DVD or whatever they're going to do, if they're going to put it on the web for what download or whatever. so that I can catch some of the ones that I missed because of reasons like this, where I was in one room instead of the other, or just was asleep through it, one or the other.
Right.
So I did get up, but that was 2:00 in room A for that one, so I did check that out, and that was pretty good. I like that. And I have to say, Acidus made a point that I thought the best point of the whole presentation that he made was, I think it was actually prompted by an audience question, if I remember correctly, saying, you know, what do you do to avoid this happening to you? We're hackers, and, you know, releasing information is a dangerous game because people don't want information released, and without going into the... You and I get into these debates that last hours on that subject, and we don't have that for the show, so we'll let that go for another time. But somebody asked, you know, what can you do? What do you do to protect yourself? Because you do want to do this kind of research. You do want to find out how it works. That's what hackers do. We like digging in and figuring that kind of stuff out. What do you do to protect yourself? And he made the comment, first of all, he reiterated that, yes, it's learning. And there's nothing wrong with learning. Learning should be a great thing. So he said, you know, yes, you want to learn about it, and that's fine, but you also have to protect yourself. And his advice, and I truly, absolutely support this, was to document every step along the way of what you are doing. You don't have to release it to anybody. You don't have to tell somebody and document externally going, hey, I'm looking at your company and this is what I'm doing, just for your own personal benefit. So that if later on down the road you get a subpoena or you get attacked by somebody or you get accused, I don't know how much weight it would carry in court, but it would sure go, I think it would go very far for you to show to the judge or show to whoever and say, listen, I was doing research, I was studying, and I kept a log or a journal, and here's everything I did. Step one, I did this, I only did this, I did not do that, and cover yourself and show that you didn't do anything damaging. You didn't do anything threatening. You didn't do anything illegal. You know, cover yourself and show what you actually did and did not do so that if they start accusing you, oh, you did this and you did that, you can say, listen, I've got a clear log and I know for a fact I did not do that. Now, I don't know how much legal weight that would carry, but I think that would go much further than you would imagine in court. I think showing that you went to that trouble would carry a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So I think that was very, very good advice from him.
It would definitely raise some eyebrows.
Yeah. And you know, my other attitude on life in general, and especially hacking, is it can't hurt. You know, go take that extra step to protect yourself. Make that log. Because you know what? Even if it doesn't help you in court, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
You know? So you might as well take a shot. It might help you out in the long run. It might not, but it might. So, you know, and it also... For me, I'm an organizational freak. I try to keep notes on stuff anyway because it helps me to keep my mind flowing, keep everything organized. So I very much support that comment. Now, that was at 2:00. Now, I didn't get to anything else again until the keynote at 4, which was Kevin Mitnick. Did you make anything else between then?
No, actually, I walked out. I didn't even get to see Kevin. I saw maybe the first 5 minutes, then it began to get to a point where I couldn't breathe in there. So I decided, you know what, I got to get out of here. It was just too many people, man. It wasn't even barely enough room to breathe in there, really.
It was packed, and I find out later after the fact from their forums at forums.binrev.com, pimp,
yeah.
That apparently there was a... We were right at the fire marshal limit of how many people were allowed on that room. So,
believe it.
Myself, I was back at the vendor booth at that point. I was hanging out with Sub-Zero and Johnny Lightning and Epiphany and some of those guys back there at our booth. So we were already in. So, but yes, I heard stories of other people saying they got turned away and they were actually denied. They're not allowed to come in because they were over capacity. So,
definitely a lot of people in that damn... I mean, it was a pretty big size hall there, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, there was a lot of people.
Yeah. And that was Kevin's first public speech or public...
That was actually his first HOPE conference.
That's what I'm saying, at a HOPE conference. For all that, you know, all that he's tied down or tied to 2600 and associated with, this was the first time that he's been able to actually speak. So... Yeah, I was there for that. I was, like I said, in the back, so I didn't... Here's my recommendation, if anybody from Hope is listening. Next year, extend those speakers on into the back. One extra section, because back there in the vendors area, we could see everything, but we didn't quite hear it. If you could take one more set of speakers, bring them back a little bit further, we could have heard it all back there, and it would have been able to watch and enjoy them, as well as tending the booths. That would have been cool. But I still was able to pick up most of it. I'd walked up there a couple times to pick some things up. And I actually, not Theory, and I bumped into Kevin and Darcy going down the elevator. They were as nice as they could be to us.
Yeah.
Very approachable. I didn't have any problems. Apparently they were forced to have security. I guess that's I don't know how true that story is, but I guess Emmanuel wanted to make sure that they had a proper security at the conference. So,
oh, yeah.
And I did see security with them a couple times, but I bumped into Kevin two or three times that weekend, spoke to him for a few minutes each time. Nice guy as he could be, didn't have any problems, very approachable. Really, really a good guy. Him and Darcy both, they were very, very nice, approachable people, and I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, he's a pretty nice guy. Yeah. Pretty nice guy.
So.
And at the book signing, Firedor was also there, the gentleman that created InMap.
Uh-huh.
A lot of us that use InMap, he was there, signing books, Firedor, right next to Kevin. I think I have a picture on the site with Firedor and Kevin there, right next to each other doing book signings.
Yeah, I made a mistake on that. I was sitting back there behind our booth, and I kept saying, you know, okay, he sat down, he's got all these people lined up for autographs. I'm like, I'll just wait until the line goes down. And, of course, the line never went down.
Never went down, buddy.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got killed on that one, but oh well.
Yeah, but you did talk to Firedor, right?
Yeah, I talked to him, I talked to Kevin, like I said, and, you know, I talked to a lot of people.
Like, you turn your back, you see somebody else. You turn this way, you see somebody else. This person talking, that person talking.
Yeah, and people coming up.
It was like, man.
Tapping you on the shoulder and wanting to meet you and talking to people that you didn't know and meeting people that you didn't.
It was good.
Yeah, oh, it was great. I had a blast. It was a great weekend. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yep.
I mean, again, I had a couple issues, and I think I will bring them up later. But all in all, it was definitely a good thing. Now, I know after Kevin was a presentation on CryptoPhone, which I did not go to, but I heard a couple other people. I think Natus went to, I don't remember if he went to it or said he wanted to and missed it. No, I think Natus went to it and wanted to see it again. So I think it must have been pretty good.
No, I didn't make that.
Yeah, what was the next? No, okay.
Off the Hook, the broadcast.
Yeah, that, I was going to say, what was the next one you went to? I didn't get to anything again until that Off the Hook broadcast.
After the keynote speak on Friday, I pretty much, you know, just let everything air. I think I went to go get something to eat at that point or something to come back for Off the Hook.
Yeah. And Off the Hook also was very crowded from what I understand, too.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, again, I was there for the Off the Hook. Actually, that is when... Between Kevin's speech and the Off the Hook broadcast is when a bunch of us got together from DDP and kind of spent some time. And I think we did go out and grab a bite to eat and come back.
Yeah.
And we sat down, kind of took up a row or two,
right,
watching the Off the Hook broadcast. So that was pretty cool to sit down as a group for the first time and you know, talk with a bunch of the guys, Cessna and Duel and Slip Mode and you and Wintermute and myself, a bunch of people there watching that. So that was pretty cool. And after that, actually, you know what? I left early. I remember this now. I left early from the Off the Hook because I wanted to go over to the, at 9 o'clock, I think it was, the automotive presentation was going on over in Conference Room B. So I left the Off the Hook broadcast early because I knew it would be available for MP3 later. So I excused myself and went over to the Automotive Network, which didn't have nearly as many people there as I would have hoped or would have expected. I know I'm a little bit of a car geek or whatever, but I went over there to check that out. And it was, like I said, not nearly as crowded as I was expecting. It was kind of hard to hear the presentation and see the slides. The fonts were kind of small. But it was an interesting topic, I thought, and something I want to research more, the Open Auto Project, I believe it was called.
Oh, yeah.
So Open, OTTO. So you can go out and search and check that out. So I went and saw that, and I think that was it for me for the night. Did you catch anything else Friday night?
After the Axe Off the Hook, I think that was pretty much it.
And we went out into town Saturday night, didn't we?
Yeah, we went out. Did we go out Friday?
We went out Friday, Saturday. We went out every night.
Yeah, I think we did a little EU on Friday. And
a little what? A little UE?
UE. I said EU.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, UE.
We went to the European Union? I don't remember that. Yeah, we did some UE, and we have footage of that.
Yeah.
That'll probably make a Hack TV episode sometime soon. And actually, we couldn't find you. We went out to, we did some more urban exploration that unfortunately you weren't able to make, but I have some footage of that as well. That was really...
Oh, that's when you went back, when you went back out.
Yeah, we went across town and did some UE that...
Oh, I know what happened.
Yeah, I want
to
keep...
When we got back from the first one, I was on the 18th floor listening to that, you know. We were pretty much, who was it? I'm not sure if it was Pete and I, or basically it was two of us. We were sitting there, you know, after we split up behind the elevators there.
Mm-hmm.
And we made it to the 18th floor. But then that's when you called me a little while after. I was trying to find out where we at. And I said we were up here, you know, on the 18th floor listening to the panel. And, well, not really listening, but pretty much just playing on the terminals. Then I think that's when you left again. But I didn't know where you was going.
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going, truthfully. I was following.
Yeah, so I think after I finished with that terminal, I went to go see where you guys were at. I thought maybe you went into the Area B or, you know, another one of those areas, but I didn't see you. So I guess, and then when we caught up with you later, later that morning, that's when you said you guys went out on another little...
Yeah, and when I did finally come back with gigantic blisters on my toes, I had a blister on my pinky toe that was bigger than my pinky toe.
Yeah, and you wanted to try to...
No, we'll save that story for later, too. Let's just say we left a nice little gift for the...
That's nasty.
Yeah, that was pretty gross, but hey, what are you going to do? Hey, it was your idea. You dared me to do it.
Well,
okay, we'll save that.
That was a pocket knife, and I wasn't about to give you a pocket knife.
Well, let's stick with the presentations, and we'll do those stories later. when I came back from my little UE adventure, and from yet another trip to White Castle... When I came back, I spent the rest of the night. We got back probably 2 or 3 a.m. I spent the rest of that night down there with Slip Mode, the two of us working on our presentations because we both presented Saturday evening. So I spent the rest of the night down there until about 6 a.m. And I came back to the room doing some rendering for my video for my presentation and tried to catch some sleep, which I couldn't. I didn't. I ended up getting to bed around 8 or 9, actually. But I don't know where you were. It's 6 a.m., about quarter till 6, I got back to the room. You were not there.
I wasn't there.
Nope. I don't know where you were at 6 in the morning. You were down.
I was
you were
downstairs
in the movie room
with the other hacker down there. The
guy that was rooting the box.
The guy that was rooting four terminals down there. Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about him last week.
Yeah, and the Atari 2600, yeah.
Yeah, so... So, Saturday morning was a wash for me. Were you able to catch anything Saturday morning?
Let me see. Saturday, lock picking.
You made that?
I saw, a little bit of the lock picking. And also, I actually went to the, on the second floor, they had the little lock picking class pretty much running throughout the con. Where you could just go down, sit down, and pick locks all day if you wanted.
Right.
And actually, I got a couple picked. It wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be.
You didn't tell me this story. I didn't know you actually went down there for that.
Yeah, I went to the lock picking.
That would have been interesting. You're going to have to, you know what? You're going to have to teach me that at our upcoming 2600 meeting, what's 2 weeks away. You're going to have to show me a little bit now, because I was not able to make any of that.
Yeah, the concept is easy. Once you understand, pretty much you get all the tumblers down, and you just keep, I'm not sure the normal, the actual name of the tools. You know, all I know is one is like a snake, and the other one is like an L shape. That's all I know. And basically, the snake one, you push down in the lock to push the tumblers down. And this L-type shape tool is what you use to actually turn it to unlock it.
Yeah, but you were a total beginner going into this, right? So you actually learned...
The first lock that I tried, I picked it in 10 seconds. It was that easy.
Wow, very cool.
The tools, basically, from what I gathered on my own, the tools are the most important. If you have some good tools, very easy.
Wow.
As well as, of course, knowing the lock. It helps.
Right.
They were even picking combination locks, you know? I'm like, Jesus Christ. These guys.
Well, hey, that's their hobby. That's
their
thing,
man. These guys are good. But, I did pick a couple.
Yeah, that's good. I would like to learn that, too. But, again, I was looking, you know, getting ready for my presentation and sleeping. Saturday was a wash for me until I got up in time for Wozniak's keynote, which is at 1 o'clock in Conference Room A.
Right.
So I got up there to see Woz.
Uh-huh.
And it was the same thing as with the others. I was kind of back at the booth, but I'd go out and wander, and I kind of caught most of it, half of it, you know.
Right, yeah.
So I was there for most of that. And actually, that's one of my big regrets was I really, really wanted to go see a presentation in Room B, John Erickson.
Oh, yeah.
Who we raved about how great his book is that I'm still reading, and I still have it right here in front of me, Hacking the Art of Exploitation, right here in front of me. He had an introduction to Disassembler, a presentation over in Conference Room B, but it was right in the middle of Steve Wozniak's presentation.
Right.
So doggone it, that was just bad timing that I couldn't make it over there for that. And actually, I would have snuck out and left early to go to that, but I just lost track of time listening to Woz.
Yeah, time goes quick when you're up in those rooms, man.
Yeah, if I would have looked down at my watch, I would have excused myself to go watch that, and I just missed it, doggone it. So that's another one I can't wait to see,
right.
The video footage of that one. So, I don't know if they, I don't know if we get copies of that as presenters or not. I don't know if we have to buy those or what, but we'll see how they release that and how much it costs. I don't mind paying for that stuff. Let's see.
Yeah.
Now, after the keynote, I think I pretty much was done again because my presentation was at 5, so I think I went down to the room, and I know you were down there with me for a little while.
Yeah.
Did you catch anything else between Woz and my presentation at 5?
No. I think after Woz, I went to grab a bite, I think, from the Nathan's downstairs, and then I came... I think that's when I went back to the room, and you were there trying to, do the finishing touches on your presentation.
Right.
I believe that's what that.
Right, and then you and I kind of sat down and just went over one last quick review, and you thought I was going to speed talk through the whole presentation.
I'm like, is he actually just rushing through this now, or is he? I hope he's not going to talk like this. You had the whole damn presentation.
I was just visualizing, and I was just speaking real fast to make sure I had all my topics in line. So yes, at 5 o'clock, I presented, and I was presenting opposite, over in Conference Room A, a presentation called Hackers in the Law, which I wouldn't have mind seeing, because they had representatives from the EFF there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said very much how much I support them. They're not just lawyers for hackers, as people have made that comment. They're not that. They're so much more than that. And I really wanted to have seen that. So that's, again, another one where... Actually, I guess it's kind of a catch-22 for me. I wanted people to come see my presentation, but at the same time, I knew there was another good one going on over there, so that was a tough one. I really wanted to see that one as well. I joked on the forums about letting someone else give my presentation so I could go watch that. But, yes, I gave my presentation, and, again, I don't know. I feel like it went okay. Some people came up afterwards and said they enjoyed it, so I guess that's the bottom line. Some people liked it. If some didn't, hey, whatever, that's cool, too. So it was a relief to get it. It was a relief to be done with it. And because I got it all done in time, when I went out to present, I felt pretty confident, even though you screwed up my slides.
Well, no. No. I tried to, but I didn't.
No, I don't know what happened, but somewhere there at the beginning, I had three slides somehow got out of order. So I had to kind of wing it. I had to kind of improvise there for a little bit.
But on the tabs at the bottom, were the numbers in sequence, or were they like...
They weren't in sequence with the actual presentation itself.
But the tabs were saying 1, 2, 3, 4, through whatever. But
yeah,
they
were in sequence. They were in sequence in OpenOffice. But over on PowerPoint... See, I think probably happened, my laptop has a sensitive... I don't even know what you call that little touch panel mouse thing. What do you call that little touch pad?
Oh,
it's very sensitive.
Well, yeah,
and
a touch pad.
Yeah,
touch mouse pad.
Whatever the thing is.
Okay.
It's very sensitive, and I'm thinking maybe it got bumped and it drug a slide. It dragged one out of order. I think it probably completely accident. We didn't even know what happened. So I think the ones on your laptop, the ones in the OpenOffice ones that I gave you.
Yeah.
I think we're in order, and I think somehow the PowerPoint at the last second there when we were setting it up on the projector, I think it must have accidentally drug one out of order.
I don't know.
So either way, I think it wasn't drastic or bad out of order. It was just like two slides earlier than it should have. I don't know if anybody noticed. Somebody email me, let me know, was it obvious that... I know I covered my microphone and whispered to you. I'm like, uh-oh, something's out of order. I got to figure out how to replace this. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I was going back and forth. I'm like, well, there's only two.
Yeah. So anyway, once we were through that, then I could breathe a sigh of relief and start enjoying the rest of the conference. Well, a little bit. Slipmode's presentation was coming up later that night, and I sat up on the panel with him, but that was a little easier because that was his presentation. And he did a great job, by the way. But before we jump ahead to that, did you catch anything else? I think, actually, we took another break after mine and went and got something to eat, didn't we?
We went over, and you were, you know, you still had about 50 people around you asking questions, but
yeah.
You kind of, like, walked them over to the booth, to the vendor area.
Yeah, and I don't know if I should apologize. They really rush you off the—they don't rush you off the stage, but they, you know, they gently nudge you off the stage so the next person can come up. You don't have a lot of time between presentations.
Right, right.
So if anybody thought that I was blowing them off or rushing them or anything, I apologize, but... My presentation I'd practiced, and it was timed at exactly an hour. I knew I wasn't going to take questions. I wasn't going to have time. Unless some reason I got it done a couple minutes early, so I knew that wasn't going to be the case. So I timed it at an hour, and I had to hurry up and give the next person their allotted time. We didn't want to run over like some other presenters did on Sunday. So anyway, yeah, we moved over to the vendor area and kind of cleared out the room a little bit. Met a bunch of great people, and some of them, we read their emails last week, as a matter of fact. So that was really cool. And then, yes, another trip to White Castle.
Yes, White Castle, three times a day.
Oh, White Castle. Food, that's good stuff, man. Oh.
By the way, this might be a little off topic, but...
That's all right.
Did you see, I don't know if you get it up there, but I saw a commercial about some movie coming about something about...
Yeah, they had ads for that movie.
The White Castle or something?
Yeah, they had ads for that movie in the White Castle. You didn't see them?
Not really.
Yeah, they had posters up in the White Castle. It was like, I don't know, Harold and Kumar go to White Castle or something like that.
Something like that, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Had a little White Castle. And as long as we're going off topic, maybe we should tell the little White Castle story.
Well, actually, I was next door getting the...
Oh, that's right, you missed it.
I wasn't in there.
Yeah, I forgot, you missed that. That was so funny. Well, it was funny at the beginning. We were in White Castle, and, all right, this is a tangent. I'm going off on a little tangent. Let me check our time here, because we got about 10 or 15 minutes, and we still got to cover the rest of Saturday and Sunday, so I'll make this a quick tangent. I haven't had White Castle in 7 or 8 years. They don't have them down here in Florida. So when I got, when I found out there was a White Castle four blocks from the hotel, I was eating a lot of White Castle that week. So we went to White Castle, and I think M2 Mike was with us. I know Natus was there. I think you and Not Theory went next door for pizza, right?
Right.
And let's see, Cessna, Natus, M2 Mike, I think, and it might have been Sub-Zero. I think it was Sub-Zero with us.
Right.
Anyway, Natus and I ordered first, and we were already done, and we went and sat down to get a table while we were waiting on our food. And Natus, being a little troublemaker he is, and me being the troublemaker that I am sometimes, when we were in line ordering, this bum came in with some hot watches he was trying to pawn. Well, I assume they're hot. I don't know if they were or not. But he's trying to sell some watches to the couple in line behind us. And we just kind of ignored it. We didn't want it. So we went and sat down and got a table while the young lady behind the counter yelled at the guy and said, "Hey, you can't come sell that in here." And the guy turned around and started to leave. And when he walked by, he kind of looked at me, showed me the watch he wanted, and I said, "How much?" Well, I probably shouldn't have done that now looking in retrospect. I asked him how much. I don't care if they're hot. I don't care. If it was a Rolex or a Relox or something, I don't care if it's a fake Rolex. I don't care. Take that back as a gift or something like that. So I asked him how much. "You wanted $10 for the watches." Well, the lady yelled at him again and said, "Hey, you can't sell that in here." And I'm like, oh, great. I got the guy in trouble, right? I shouldn't have even said anything. Well, the dude snapped at her and started saying, "I'm not selling anything. I was just talking to somebody. We just talking. Ain't nobody selling nothing." Obviously, he was trying to sell the things, you know, and I felt bad I stirred it up. But that's no excuse for what he did. He started getting very irate and just basically going crazy. He was a pretty shifty-looking dude anyway. He started snapping at the girl, going back and forth, and he was obviously he was loving the attention. Everybody in the restaurant was staring at him, laughing at him and stuff. And he was yelling at the girl, saying, "You can't do this, you can't do that." The girl was pushing the little panic button to get the cops, which I think basically takes 15 or 20 minutes. So, yeah, there's no panic going on. That panic button isn't going to help you. But, yeah, she was telling him he had to get out, and he was snapping back at her, saying, "You don't know what you're talking about. I'm not doing this. You can't make me leave, blah, blah, blah." But we were still laughing because we thought it was funny, the crazy guy yelling at the White Castle people, you know. So he would walk out and then he'd come back in because he loved that attention. You could tell he wanted the attention. He was raising a fuss, just making a scene because he wanted to be heard. So he kept walking back and forth and walking back and forth. And I know you had to be there. This story's probably lost and it's not as funny to everyone else, but he came back in this last time, and he's like making up. It's like he kept going back and forth so many times, he obviously started making up stuff to yell at. He ran out of stuff to yell at. So he turned back this one last time, and Natus and I were sitting off to the side. He came back one last time, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, another thing." He said, "What about all those times I come in, I order chicken, and y'all won't let me use your bathroom? Your bathroom's all messed up." So it's like, A, that was hilarious because it's like, what does that have to do with you selling watches? What does that have to do with anything? He was just trying to look for something to yell at for, you know. But Natus and I, being the troublemakers, we both almost in unison were like, "Yeah, what about that?" Instigating and stirring him up even more, which he doubled back again like, "Yeah, your bathroom all messed up." And we were just laughing because we were instigating it. But then it wasn't funny anymore because the next thing he said was, he said to the little girl, he said, "You think something's funny, little girl? You think something's funny? I'll come back in a few minutes and I'll clear this whole place out."
See.
And I'm like, you know what? I think it's time for us to go. We got our food and we got the hell out of Dodge. He was all talk. I'm sure he didn't do anything. But it was like, okay, you crossed the line there, crazy guy.
What about the first day? The first day you went into White Castle with the guy with the brown sweatsuit that's sweating bullets.
Oh, he was a crackhead, dude. He was on crank.
He's walking around with this garbage bag with God knows what in it.
Yeah, who knows what it was. He was hopped up on something. It was hot outside. It was warm. It wasn't hot. It was warm, you know. But this guy was sweating like he was in the Sahara Desert.
He's got this sweatsuit on.
it was just... White Castle is the place to be. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, let's jump back on this before we run out of time here. Back to the presentations. I didn't make, from between my session, we went and got food. By the time we got back, we were in time to talk to Slip Mode and prepare for his Hacker Radio presentation.
Right.
That was at 9 o'clock, I think.
Yeah,
9 o'clock in B. And he gave a presentation on Hacker Radio and how it's been coming up and some of the future of where it's going, some technical talk of how to and stuff like that. And Dual Parallel and myself were up on the panel with him and spoke. We each spoke for a few minutes about our respective shows. And Slipmo did a great job on that. Like I said, he and I worked on it the night before, and I know he made a lot of additions to it, so that turned out really, really good. So congratulations to him. And after that, I think that we called it a night for that. I think that's when we went out and did our urban exploration down the High Line. I think it was Saturday night.
No, we actually...
Was it?
Well...
What did we do? We went to a bar.
We went to our Grand Central, I think, that night.
Was that it? You may be right. Yeah, I think you are right, actually. Or was that Sunday? No, it was Sunday, because it was
Saturday.
After. Yeah, I think Saturday we went to that little bar down, that old Irish pub with a bunch of the guys down there. Or at least I did. I don't know if you made that.
I got there, yeah, a little bit late, yeah. But I got there.
Oh, yeah,
you
snuck up behind me.
Yeah, he's trying to take pictures of that.
Yeah.
But,
So, yeah, unfortunately, I didn't make any more of the presentations that night, Saturday. So
I think the last presentation was, what, at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, I think, and they, I don't know, some of them went, since they were the last one, I think they had some leeway of how long they could go.
Right.
Now, on to Sunday, because we've only got 5 or 6 minutes left, and I don't want to make a part three out of this. Let's see, Sunday, I spent a lot of time at the booth. I'm looking at the list now. I didn't make, let's see, Cheshire's Ranch Session, I didn't make that.
The ASE.
Tactical Media. The Honeypots, like, I don't know, I wouldn't mind seeing that one. Jason Scott, I missed his, unfortunately, Preserving Digital History, A Quick and Dirty Guide, but I've met Jason Scott, we've had him on RFA before, I've spoken to him before, he's a good guy, so, you know, I knew kind of a lot of what he was going to be talking about. I still wanted to see it, the actual presentation itself, but I missed that one. That was at 11 o'clock. let's see, Retro Computing... There was an urban exploration panel. I didn't catch that one.
Oh. You were there for Jell-O, though.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I did catch a little bit of the urban exploration. I remember them talking about asbestos. I remember them showing some talking about wearing a mask if you went to some place you thought might be having asbestos and some stuff like that. Because I was curious, how do you present a panel on urban exploration? That's one of those things you have to do and see. It's very visual. A Hack TV kind of, it's a video segment, like White Sword TV, you know? It's not something you can describe easily on a panel. So that was a tough thing to present, but from what I saw, they seem to have done a pretty good job. And yes, Jell-O Biafra, for God's sake, I could not avoid that one. I was back there at the vendor's booth, trying not to listen to it. And the one that I didn't want to listen to that was getting on my last nerve, that stupid presentation from Jell-O Biafra, I couldn't avoid that damn thing.
It was a little bit long-winded.
Yeah, and I think, from what I understand, I think he went well over his allotted time and was very difficult from what I've heard in retrospect. Gave the security guys a hard time, had a lot of attitude with people in general. That's all hearsay. I heard that secondhand. I don't know. I didn't talk to the guy personally. All I know is this presentation was annoying as hell. So, in my personal opinion, of course, which may not count for anything to some people, to most people. And social engineering panel, we were there for that, which was after Jell-O. And closing ceremonies was pretty much the next one. Closing ceremonies. Did I miss some? I thought Acidus gave another presentation. I thought he did a presentation on Magstripe, on card reading. Did I miss that on the list somewhere? I'm not sure. Anyway, I thought he had given a presentation, or at least I heard he was
I think I remember hearing something like that.
Yeah, and I wanted to see that, but yeah, I missed that one as well. Just so much to do and so little time, so definitely want to catch up on a lot of these. The closing ceremonies, that was just a, pardon my language, but that was just a cluster. Well, I'll control my language. I'll watch how adult I can be. That was just a mess. They didn't have any organization. People had donated prizes. I thought it was very rude for them not to have given credit to people for the prizes that they donated and stuff. You could have said this was donated by No Starch Press. This was donated by such and such, but they didn't. It was just like, come on up here and grab something. And they didn't have any way of giving the prizes out properly.
Yeah.
And they started rolling dice, for God's sake. How tacky. What is this, a Dungeons and Dragons convention? Come on, man. Seriously. And then they whipped up. I'm like, come on, you want me to write you a little script or a little program that'll give you a random number? And that's what they ended up doing. Somebody wrote a quick little program, I think. I don't know how it was written or how well it was, because it seemed to be, the numbers seemed to be all pretty close together, if you ask me, but hey,
yeah,
whatever.
It was about 1,200 count or something.
But yeah, I guess we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quickly, because we got, yeah, 4 or 5 minutes. All in all, don't get me wrong, I'm about to say something that really turned me off about the whole thing, and I know you and I might not agree on this, but regardless of that, it was a great convention. I enjoyed meeting everybody, a lot of good talks, some bad talks, but for the most part, I had a fantastic time, and I wouldn't change it for the world. It was a great time up there, as well as, you know, the time we spent afterwards enjoying New York City. However, and before I go into my however, did you want to add?
No.
Okay. However.
Go ahead.
Okay. You guys can send me hate mail all you want for saying this. But damn it, I flew to New York City to go to a hacking convention. I didn't go to a Bush-bashing convention. I didn't go to a political convention. I didn't go up there to hear Jello Biafra bitch and moan and complain about how terrible the government is. I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree with it. I actually agree. I think the government does a lot of stupid things. But that's not why I went. So it doesn't matter that if I agree with this person, if I do like Bush or I don't like Bush, right? I don't care. It's irrelevant of who you support or who you don't support, what your party cause is, or blah, blah, blah. I just don't see how it was appropriate or any way related to hacking for them to have all this political content. If it's privacy, yes, I can see that as being related. Privacy, it can be digital rights and things like that where it is somewhat related. That I can see. But Jello Biafra spent 2 hours plus digging on the president and his administration. Hey, that's fine. If you agree with it, don't agree with it, that's all fine. I'm just saying, go present that at the Democratic National Convention, not at the Hope Conference.
So I agree.
Yeah, my whole comment is not about what they said or whether I agree or disagree. That's irrelevant. My whole comment is that's, to me, not what a hacking convention is about. So they did have a lot of technical stuff, and I did enjoy myself, but I did want to say that. I've been holding that in for a while now. I was thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed at a giant George Bush with a Hitler mustache. I was very uncomfortable with this armband on, you know, and they give you armbands instead of cards or anything to get you in and out of the convention. It was an armband. And here I am up on this podium in front of a giant poster of Hitler. George Bush as Hitler, I don't care. 1984, sure, I understand it's from the comic book. That's all fine and dandy. But basically, here I am in an armband in front of a giant Hitler-like poster with these banners around, and I wasn't comfortable. I presented off to the side. I did not present from my main podium because I didn't want to be on camera in front of such a scenario. But at the same time, I didn't want to stir up trouble or anything, so I just presented from over on the side. So, in case anybody was wondering why I did that, now you know. I wasn't comfortable with that, so I just don't see where that has anything to do with hacking. I went to talk and learn and hear and discuss technology. So, you know, again, that's something we've said about our magazine, too. We try to make the magazine, Binary Revolution Magazine, and this radio show, we try to avoid technology. We'll touch on it, but we'll try to quickly move through it if we have to. But I'm all about the technology, man. That's what I'm in hacking for. That's what I enjoy, and I just wish they would have stayed more with that. I guess that's it. If people disagree, they know they can contact us. Radio@benrev.com. Or letters@benrev.com works too, but that's more for feedback on the magazine. And I guess that's pretty much it, unless you wanted to add or disagree.
I thought was good. There was a couple things that I had issue with that I won't talk about, but it's just disgusting. But anyway,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The banners and all the armbands and all that, it didn't tick me off as much as it did you. I can get past that. I thought it was a little bit too political. But I guess at the same time, I guess they're trying to make a statement because the Republican National Convention was, there.
The people were there looking around
and this kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could have done without it, but for whatever reason, they decided to do it. No big deal.
I dealt with it.
Don't give a damn.
Yeah. I went around it as much as I could and dealt with it, but they had a couple different themes. They had Watch the Watchers.
Right. Which I
think that by itself would have been a great overall theme.
Yes, I like that.
Be the Media. I think that also would have been a great overall theme in and of itself, by itself.
Right.
And then they had the whole 1984 Big Brother's Watching, and that was the overall theme. And yes, I know that it was supposed to be George Bush as Big Brother, not Hitler, it was a whole 1984 play on Big Brother's Watching. I understand that. I just think it crossed a little bit too much. But, yeah, the other two sub-themes, I think those would have stood alone very well.
Yeah. It was still good. It was they had multiple themes going around, so I guess, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up because we are full up on time, over our time. It used to be a show that we were supposed to be an hour long. Sometimes we go over a little bit. We have an extra half hour just in case we go over. We are regularly doing an hour and a half show now. Every single week, so we are about at that hour and a half now, so we're going to wrap it up. I got some shouts I wanted to give to El Diablo, representing DC305, I mentioned earlier, New Hack City, Hack City 305, so shouts to him. To Josh, if you're listening, yes, you're right, I do check my referrals, so thanks for the linkage, I did see that, so shouts out to him.
Also, we didn't do this last week. The guy that helped pimp your magazine all weekend at No Starch Press.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember his name, but he was, pimping the magazine more than he was pimping his books and stuff, you know?
Very, very cool guy. And actually,
nice guy.
I will bring that up on a later show, too, especially if I can get John Erickson on the show, possibly. We'll bring up that and some other things because, yes, he was very nice, and I spoke with him on some other issues, some other ideas of working with him on some things. So, yeah, definitely very cool. Again, radio@benrev.com if you want to email us. Article submissions for 2.2 of the magazine, articles@benrev.com. And tonight's closing music is a new track from Brad Sucks, somebody we play quite a bit on here. I really like his music, and this track is called Certain Death. So, Zero DB, thank you very much for being on the show yet again. Thank you for going to the conference with me. I had a good time, man. It was good.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was you and I. I'm glad you and I went, and Cy Pete also. I'm glad that we went because you and I get along real well, and we both kind of did our thing, but at the same time, we hung out. I think it worked out very good. So, I had a great time. Even though I kind of said I didn't like the political, don't let that fool you. I had a blast at the conference and at New York City. So, don't mistake that. So, everyone listening, we're going to wrap it up. We'll see you guys next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Peace out.
Peace.